Good day and welcome to Personality Profile here on Joy 99.7 FM and of course Joy Prime as well. I'm Lexus Bill. You know, when I take my seat like this, it means I have somebody amazing to talk to, a journey that you and I will certainly want to hear about. And that's why today we're seated. I have royalty in my seat today, honestly. Yeah, today we celebrate royalty. We celebrated Ghana Month not long ago, celebrating our ingenuity, our traditional customs and our rules and all of that. But today, there's a man who epitomizes all of that. Traditional royalty, the best of medicine, the best of politics, and a whole lot more. A life over 80 years that we can all learn from. I'll tell you about him. So sit back, relax, and let's do this. Now, I'll tell you what. From very humble beginnings, my guest has risen to become an iconic figure in the world of dermatology and general medical practice as a whole. He's a fellow of the American Association of Dermatologists. He's been that since 1986, thereabouts. He's a member of the British Association of Dermatologists as well since 1992. He's been a commissioner for the International Commission for Health Professionals, ICHP, an affiliate of the World Health Organization. He's been that since 1989. He's a founding member and former national secretary of the Ghana Society of Dermatologists, foundation fellow of the Ghana College of Physicians and Surgeons since 2005, founding member of the African Association of Dermatologists as well. He actually was an adjunct professor of dermatology at the University of Development Studies, UDS Medical School for 10 years and also a professor of dermatology at the Accra College of Medicine. Yeah. Now, after gaining extensive knowledge and experience from around the world, he returned to Ghana to set up Rabito Clinic in Kanda at the time. Yep, from modest beginnings 50 years ago, Rabito Clinic has nearly 27 branches throughout Ghana. It's also given birth to standalone Rabito Laboratories and Rabito Pharmacies in parts of Accra. My guest was also very active in politics. He has served as the national chairman of the Convention People's Party. He was almost the flag bearer of the CPP until the elders of the Chiru royal family in Nandom said, no, our son needs to come home and lead us. He took up the vacant throne as paramount chief of the Nandom traditional area. So ladies and gentlemen, please help me welcome His Royal Majesty, Na Professor Edmund Nguyen Dele Chir VIII, to Personality Profile. His Royal Majesty.
Thank you.
Do I prostrate? you're welcome.
Thank you.
So nice to see you. How are you, Prof?
I'm fine. Thank God. 80 years in life. It's not easy, but when God has given you that strength, you give your gratitude to God, and then you are there to let people know that a life well lived is always a life to treasure.
Yeah.
Thanks to the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ. My greatest joy of talking to you is to encourage others I have met in life, younger ones, and I want them to be greater than me in future. That is why I really love to teach.
Yes.
Make sure that what God has given me, I share with others.
Mm.
Definitely, we talk of humble birth, but actually humble birth, one would say yes, because my father, who was the son of Chir the First, in those days, polygamy was usual. And being a prince, he married a lot of women.
Okay.
And my mother, who was sent there as a young girl to serve him and to serve one of my mothers, who had just given birth to a child, stayed there for a couple of years. And I think my father, despite the age difference, saw she was a charming woman and went to tell the royal house in Nandom, he wanted my mother to be his wife. And of course, it was accepted. And so actually, my mother was the youngest of my father's wives.
How many wives?
Well, according to the story, some are estimating that he had about 18 wives.
Oh, boy.
How true it is, well, but those I met, they were 10.
Okay, you met 10.
I met 10, okay. So that one I remember. Yeah. But according to the story, being a prince at that time, I'm told he used to go around and he was good in trading. Mm. So when he went around and saw any beautiful woman he loved, he would just walk to the family and say, I want this lady. yes, so of course, by doing that too, he has spread us all over Upper West.
You know? Yeah. Okay, yes. You know, we will talk more about that story.
Yes.
I'm particularly interested in whether you followed your father's footsteps. But
I see. Oh, yeah.
But we'll get there. One of the things I personally am impressed about, and I wish I could tap in, and I pray to God that we all live to be 80.
Yes.
But how have you kept so strong and you look good, you're well, you've got beautiful skin. Of course, you know you're a dermatologist, so you know, but you're fit. So what do you do? What's the secret? What's the fountain of youth? Where is it? Can we tap into it?
Yes, I think first and foremost, my belief in God.
Mm.
And all my years, one of the things I never escape is my morning prayer in church.
Oh.
Every morning, I'm up by 4:30. By 6:30, I go to my nearest church and pray to God.
Oh, you
for
actually
keeping.
Go to the church?
Yes. If you want to catch me, it's Christ the King. Since 1974, you find me there, and my seat is there. What only pains me is that those I started with, the majority of them are gone. So sometimes I feel lonely.
Okay.
You know, to see people you were 50 years is not a joke.
Yes.
Then you find they have gone, and I'm sometimes feeling sad that why is the Lord still keeping me? And I said, who am I to decide?
Yeah.
So that is number one. The second thing I see about it is keeping myself always active.
Okay.
In fact, I make it a point that every day between 8 and 9 a.m., I take a walk. And that helps me even to know where I am, whether I'm in East Lagos or here. I go around and just see the thing. And I learn a lot because by doing that, you see places you would hardly have seen. So exercise number two.
Wow.
But the third important thing is also what I eat.
Okay.
As the great people tell you, you are what you eat.
Yes.
I've been a vegan since 50 years.
Wow.
I started first as a vegetarian.
Okay.
In 1957, before independence, slightly before that, I read about Mohammed Gandhi.
Mm.
And he talked much about vegetarianism. That means try to avoid animal foods, mm-hmm. but you could take milk. But as I grew, I took after doing that, I decided that, no, let me go to the highest I could climb. And I became a vegan 40 years ago.
Wow.
Vegan, that means I depend only on plant protein.
Okay.
I've never tasted meat or fish or anything for the past 40 years. It's only fruits and vegetables. So animal protein is not part of me. I like to eat a lot of vegetables, and I drink a lot of water.
Wow.
Because what people don't realize is that your body is made up of almost 75% of water.
Yeah.
So if you come to my room, anytime you find me with my bottle of water, in fact, to show the evidence, she's carrying one for me.
Yes.
So that I sip it and sip it. And as you sip, you hydrate your skin.
Yeah.
You hydrate your joints. And people should know, this is a secret. There is no medicine more powerful than water.
Mm.
You drain it, a lot of it. We don't wait till we are feeling thirsty.
Thirsty, okay.
Then it's already an alarm. That why? No, as much as possible. You sip and sip, and you keep your body fine. So I find out that these three things have helped me.
Wow.
My first, faith in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
My second, as I said,
exercise.
Pray in the Lord. And then, of course, my exercise.
Mm.
You don't. And if I say exercise, I don't necessarily mean that you should. No, do it according to your age.
Mm.
And more importantly, for elderly people like us, I choose walking as the best exercise.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with where you are. Even in your room, the space you have, walk up and down, up and down, 10, but make it a regular thing, not do it today and tomorrow I'm tired, I can't do it. So this, in my life, these three things have helped me. God first. And in fact, I remember a very famous speech which was made for us when I was in this. And I still remember it. And that is, place God first.
Place God first, yes.
Above all things. Mm. Place purity, integrity above bluffing and popularity. Mm. So anytime I repeat this, I say, yes, place God first above all things. So God, the great healer, and that has influenced me a lot, because if you read the motto of Rabito Clinic, I say, we medicate you, it's the Lord who heals you. So I've always put this in my mind, and I use that capacity to help a lot of my patients.
Yeah.
Even if I give them water to drink, and they believe that that water, they get healed. And the miracles of God are still going on. People don't know. Mm. They are still going on. And that is why God has told doctors, those of us who God helped to become doctors, that look, it's a vocation of love. If you cannot love your neighbor, don't be a doctor. Mm. If you don't, you know you cannot love people, don't be a doctor. Because it is a profession of love, care, respect for this opportunity to help your neighbor who is not feeling fine. So I think if there is anything I've taught my children and they have said, they say, Daddy, one thing we can never forget about you is seeing you every day in prayer, telling God that, look, I am your son and I believe in you, I trust in you. Mm. And it will explain why I've escaped. I've had 17 to 20 accidents. My car accident is going around and a plane crash in 2000.
You serious?
Yes, 2000. And of course, I'm never ashamed to show this, and I show it all the time, that to talk about my belief, there it is. I never go anywhere without Christ, without my mother Mary. So when I was climbing up the plane, go, and one of the colonels called me, said, oh, please, bro, we are sorry, we want to be real. Can you make a prescription for me? I said, what is wrong? I went to the place. So I climbed up. When I finished, they took me up to the plane, and I was given a special seat. Normally, the military will show respect for me. When I got there, somebody was seated on my seat. So the military man said, this is not your seat. It's for... He said, he's not going. He sat there. When we crashed, he was the person who died first. Seven others died. So the faith, my faith has healed me. And when this was played, this famous chronicle came out, and I showed my rosary. My thing is God who saved me. My faith in God has helped me a lot. If you read about this thing, I think BBC said the one who has cheated death 3-4 times. It is because of my belief that we are all created by one God. And that one God, when you believe in that God, nothing can do you wrong. Always there will be God to say. Because I was going to, after I was then CPP chairman, I went and talked to my people in Kumasi, and I was going to Damango. Mm-hmm. My nephew was made the bishop of Damango, so I was going to him to look. Either the driver was sleeping and I didn't. We went and banged ourselves into a tree, and I fell out of the car. And if you saw the car, I was on my ground. Of course, I never forgot my rosary. I held it like that. Within 10 minutes, people passed. I said, this is our Rabito doctor. It was a big truck. They picked me up and sent me to the nearest clinic. Mm-hmm. I go to the nearest clinic, of course. We are all human, but I held this and said, Mary, you are my mother. Help me to make sure that I also survive. So I got there. I was quite conscious. So I immediately told them, call my son, Bangu Dele, that's my first son. Mm-hmm. Tell him to tell President Mills that I've had a very serious accident, so I need his assistance. He immediately sent a plane to pick me up and brought me here. And I went and I survived it. And many others. Hmm. Yes, so
you,
God,
you indeed have cheated death.
Me, yeah. I've cheated death several times. Pained me and it remembers me is that for me to die is to live, because this is not the only place we are going to go. We'll go elsewhere, but I'm ever grateful to, in fact, the latest incident which showed my belief in God was mm-hmm. that almost everybody knew that I was dead, because the doctors, they said, looked and gave me 50 chance of success. Mm-hmm. They cut me open. So I came up and I said, Jesus Christ, the people still need me in Ghana. My people have just made me a paramount chief, so please be there. And so, look, you won't believe it. Within a week, I was walking and telling everybody, the old soldier. And the nurses were looking at this old man. What's wrong with this old man? And that's how it is. I have lived my faith.
Yeah.
And I encourage people that there is a God who looks kindly on all of us. And if you believe in this God and you follow him, don't let anything worry you. He will always take you out.
This is very profound.
And in fact, the 2001, yeah. what impressed me was that.
You mean the plane crash?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I was a lady whom I got to know 3 years after. She saw me, and because it was raining heavily, she went and ordered a taxi on her own and took me to the military hospital. But we were many, and of course, I didn't blame them. We crashed, so everybody panicked. I was pushed into a room near a toilet, and of course, people who knew me were very disturbed. How do you treat this man like that? Professor Akosa was one of them. Mm. And I said, we are sick. So when you are sick, don't think of special solution.
Yeah.
A German friend of mine, head of this, of the accident, he rushed to a military hospital. He said, I've heard Professor Daly is sick. He's got an accident. He said, please, give me away. This man has helped me in life, and I won't see him suffer. He just took signed me off and flew me straight to Germany. Took care of me free of charge. Made sure that I was well healed before I came. So that's why I say that another thing in the years I've learned is that your God, your family, your friends. As you grow, don't forget these things. Your God, your friends, your family. They are the people close to you, and they will always help you.
Yeah.
And that is the time you get to know who really loves you.
Yeah.
So I owe him a lot of... He did everything, and it was fantastic. So
you have such a beautiful story.
Oh, yes. So I want, anything I can leave for posterity is that we have a true and a living God.
Yeah.
If you believe in God, don't worry about anything. Always be saved.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. I mean, I'm totally inspired already, even before we get into the thick of the conversation.
Yes.
But after 80 years, I mean, I came into Rabito. I know this year marks 50 years, right?
Yes.
50 years of Rabito.
Yes.
And I thought by now, you know, you'll probably just be supervising. You actually are still working.
Well, this is also one secret about life.
Uh-huh.
If you retire, you are condemned to death.
Mm.
Because you feel that society doesn't need you again.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what is actually making the old people to die. Because you stop them at a time when they should contribute more to society.
Okay.
And I saw it in Europe. I was invited to a university in the US, where I went and saw somebody. I was introduced to him. He's been there. He was 92 years old. And he was always the first to go to the... He retired. He saw even students who became professors, but he was there. So I was inspired by that.
Yeah.
And I said, no, this is exactly the type of life I want to live.
Yeah.
I want to live and continue to show respect for my people, continue to... If my services are needed. Because one, it isn't because you share your knowledge with the younger ones. And that's why I'm teaching at the Accra. I taught in UDS for 10 years. I'm teaching Accra College of Medicine.
Mm.
And if you come in my room, you see these young students with me, and I enjoy it.
Wow.
Because you hear from them, and then you exchange ideas with them. And I think old age, I would be the last person, if I were president, I would not like people to retire at the age of 65 or 70. Mm. If your brain is still working, why? Because even it's the age that we need you more, because there is no competition. You are not competing with anybody. Are you competing with anybody? Mm. No. So I think we should learn this, that we are throwing away the old people who should be there with us, even if he doesn't have any food. Let him be on top there, as we did in Padua. Padua, one of the oldest universities in the world. Mm. We had you hear of Rabito, I'll tell you that later. But his, Rabito's boss, and his boss's boss, was an elderly man. Mm. When I went there, he had stopped teaching, but they put him on top. Jesus, with all our technology. When we had a difficult case, we just ran up to the old man. I said, oh, old man, we've seen this. So I saw this during the war. I think it is this disease. And all our research was putting us in trouble. But he was able to tell us clinically, seeing, examining, without even, because that is what we talk about, the clinical experience of the elderly.
Okay.
They will tell you. So this is one message I'd like people to know.
Okay.
The elderly people, we need them. Mm. Even if he's not coming to compete with you. So sometimes I feel bad, for instance, taking your profession. Mm-hmm. The old journalists who are there, still alive, let them know that they are still useful.
Yeah.
Of course, you have your computers. We were born before computers. But at least listen to the old man, and he will guide you. And in fact, this is one thing I would like to leave a message for Ghanaians. Let us not push our old people to the grave early. Supposing I were in my town, they say I'm old man, I can't do anything. Before you know, you can't move, you can't do anything.
Yeah.
But once you have people who excite you, my young students come here, oh, is this and this, and I try to listen to them and try, and I learn more from them than they think they are learning from me. Yeah. Because I know what is happening now. So the early people, please, don't let us push them to
That's really cool. In your 80 years of life, if I asked your proudest moment, something you look back and it just makes you proud, what will it be?
I think I must say my proudest moment was in my political field. When the CPP unanimously took me as their national chairman without anybody competing with me. And Gwe as the second time as chairman is very rare. Mm. And all they did was to clap for me. The old man has come, let's give him. Of course, I said, this type of respect, I have not seen. And you know, politics is a very difficult game.
Yes.
I was so happy that it's what, and that is why, as you said, I was hoping that I could stay on and go as their presidential candidate. But my people think it was time for me to get back to support them. So even though that was a pleasure, but it was my political career.
Okay.
For you to be told by all the people that, look, you are going as chairman, nobody should challenge you. And that is one of the legacies that I have, I'll never forget.
Awesome. Let's flip it now. If you look back, your biggest regret?
Actually, my biggest regret too is political. Because I thought at the time I came as chairman of the CPP, and we had people like Dr. Mahama, who was my bodyguard at Government Secondary School. When I was president of the Ghana Young Pioneers, he was my bodyguard. And the people around me were so close that I was convinced that history will put it on record that under my leadership, the legacy of CPP will be kept. We will unite without any discussion. And that was the biggest regret. In fact, 1992 has been one of the years that I regretted, that I sacrificed, and we could. So all the splitted CPP parties, we used to come and meet here. And one of the, so when I went to Kwalibu, I don't even remember what I told them. They said, no, let's come to Rabito. And all Nkrumah's small splinter parties should become one. We succeeded in a way. We got CP, then we fought in court, they gave us CPP. So now, when Dr. Liman died, we said, no, forget our differences, let us have a convention people's party, including everybody. And that's my greatest regret, that despite efforts I made, I couldn't unite all CPP together. And that really is something which I felt very bad.
Why weren't you able to unite the CPP? What was the main bone of contention?
The main bone of contention was that, I don't know, I still believe they were influenced by the two big parties.
Okay.
Yes, you know, big parties can penetrate here, penetrate there, because it is still what I still find. The things were obvious. Mm-hmm. We knew that going alone, singly, we couldn't do anything. We come together, and then this one, and it failed. And I used to tell them, united we stand, divided we fall. And that is also one of the things that has kept me saying that why? Mm. But having given up, now that I'm an elder and I'm this one, I'm still sending the message to the young ones that we must really make sure that one day we have a third force in Ghana, and that third force must be the Convention People's Party.
Does it hurt you that you, during your lifetime, you've not seen the CPP rise to the top? And
in fact, that is actually the challenge. I couldn't do that. I regret so much.
Yeah.
And I regret it to this day, because the young ones, I'm happy, like a young man called me and said, oh, Prof, we know you are now a chief, but are you happy seeing your party in this state affairs? I said, no, I'm not happy. But in one way, quietly on the ground, I will still call them that they should never give up.
Do you think the CPP's inability to gain power since constitutional rule in 1992 and all of that, do you think it had anything to do with the kind of flag bearers you put up?
Definitely. It has to do with the flag bearers, because you must be somebody who should be strong enough to get everybody on. And then, as I said, integrity is very important. Keep yourself, you see, that has been our mission, the leadership. Mm. You see, I'm a very incorrigible Catholic, and I believe in unity. And I believe in being a servant leader. If you are a servant leader, it's better. You go on the ground, talk to people, and that has been my strength. I don't sit in my office there. When I was chairman, you find me in the night, I'm going around the place, sitting with the people. And I learned it from my mentor, of course, Osagyefo, Dr. Kwame Nkrumah. Go to people, sit with them, listen to them. And I believe one day I will live, if God gives me, live to see CPP come to power.
Okay. Yes. Now, let's get to the beginning.
Yes.
And when I say the beginning, I'm talking about, what, 1943, thereabouts, somewhere. I think that's where you were born, right?
I was born in,
1943 in Nandom.
Nandom.
When the prince of the Chir family was looking around and looking for an 18th wife.
Oh, yes.
And then, so you were born into a very big family.
Yes.
Lots of children, lots of children. Grandchildren, lots of mothers.
Oh, yes, of course.
At the time, was it that system where all these wives, you called them your mothers, or were there little rifts or anything of the sort? Share with us how the growing up was like.
My father was a great leader. Mm. And my father was actually somebody who instilled discipline in the family, so that we didn't have things like, this is my mother, that is my step. No, everybody was a mother. Mm-hmm. And he did it in such a, you know, in the, we had the old thing that, spare the rod, you spoil the child. So I remember quite well, when we were young, you may do something and your mother will spank you. But we were taught, when she spanks you, cover your mouth and run out. Because as soon as you pass, the other mothers will be. So they told you that Your mother cannot do wrong.
Yeah.
She slaps you. So when you tell, you close your mouth and go around. Yeah. And I was pleasantly surprised that this old man could have these women around him. Mm. And he was able to. And one thing I know about my father, the way he walked with this thing there, and then the way the women were always imitating him and teasing him.
Mm.
Oh no, these women, they will imitate my father. Look how it was. And the old man will smile apart. And then, of course, see the children in grades, those of us who were young, 6, then 8 years, then 10 years, then 12 years, because he did his family planning
mm-hmm.
like that. So that if you see, I was one of the third. So there is somebody 2 years after me,
okay.
And it's like this. So as for the family system, it was good in a sense that I'm now a Catholic, but the polygamy was not as, because there was discipline. And of course, the first mother, that is the first wife, is always respected by the younger wives. That is our mother, and she has to guide you. But of course, because of the family planning, you get your turn. And so if you see with my, if I'm, for instance, I'm 80 years old.
Mm-hmm.
My younger brother is 78, because the spacing, is 2 years.
Okay.
They did their own family planning.
Okay.
And I think it is that unity that the old man was able to bring us together that when, and it's very sad because I always compare his death to the Last Supper of Jesus. In fact, I remember I was very sharp. He had sent me to school, and you know the story of my mother being the youngest wife was not trying to challenge this. So when my father came into my mother's room at a time that normally he didn't come in, my mother was a bit worried. He said, what does the old man want? He said, look, I'm coming to take your son away. He has to go to school, primary school.
Mm.
Of course, my mother said, I'm young. What are my rivals going to say?
Yeah.
And my father said, no, I have made the choice. He's going. What could my mother say? He said, take him to primary school. Now that was 1943. So they took me there. That was in March, you know, but they started in January. So we were already a month or two late. We got to the school. And then in those days, you just have to do this.
Yeah.
And I did it. I didn't qualify because they would do this no other way. So the headmaster told my father that there is no way they could accept me. The old man turned and asked the teacher, are you sure of what you are saying? Do you know who is for this land where the school has been built? It's my land. And if I can give you this land free of charge and I bring my son and you say you won't take him, okay, I don't know what to do. So of course.
And that is how you gained
admission.
And
that was how I gained admission. And of course, he was also talking to his father.
Okay.
You know, in Dagati, we don't, because Konkun, who was one of the chiefs, that was his son, who was then the headmaster of the school.
Okay.
So that was, he was talking, and my father said no. So he took me.
Mm.
They took me on that condition that, and to the shock of the teacher himself, and less than 3 months, I became the class prefect.
Oh, wow.
Because I was so sharp. So when my father came and found me in front, he told the director,
mm-hmm.
tell you that I saw something in this boy.
Yeah.
But the sad news is that I went to school, not even 3-4 months. We were there in school when they sent a message, all of us should go home. I said, go home for what? My father was on his dying bed. So they called and I saw my father. I said, this man, why did you send me to school? You gave me just a Pietro and you are dying and leaving me. It was one of my saddest things. But of course, because in those days, our people believed in a lot of things. And he was actually the warrior for the family. He would go and fight any fight and come back safe.
Mm.
And he loved horses.
Okay.
Here he could jump on top of anything to bring not only a wife whom, but an enemy whom you go up and take him there. So it was something we were proud of. But
yeah.
Now, after I've grown up, I got to know he had his famous his famous horse.
Okay.
And I know now, as it's not, he must have hit my father on the, and they didn't know. So it was tetanus.
Oh.
He got killed, but well, our people didn't believe it. But he, now that I'm grown, because when that time I called, I saw the people were struggling with him. You put them here, but of course, he was already a strong man,
mm-hmm.
known that he was a strong man.
Mm-hmm.
They called him the lion.
Okay.
If there was anything happening there, anyone it happening in Nandom, you call the lion. And in those days, you know, the DCs, they will let them roads there. Mm-hmm. The women have to go and put it well for the DC's car to pass without dust.
Okay.
And my father was supervising all that. So he was very popular.
Yeah.
He was
yeah.
very popular in this. So you see, this is what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So the small boy who now
I became the star of the school.
Became this later on to become the senior prefect and so forth.
Was there a certain profession you were admiring as a child? Did you ever always think you wanted to be a doctor?
In fact, the interesting thing is that I love languages and I love drama. So during the drama, a person came dressed like this. You know, they gave him this to be the doctor.
Okay.
So I saw this. So when I got back, I told my mother, look, there is a profession that they know all about medicine. So it means if I become a doctor, I won't die. Because so I told my mother this, and the lady kept it in her mind.
Uh-huh.
Well, if you see my history, she was always there to remind me that I said I wanted to be a doctor, and a doctor I should be. Because when all other things were happening to me, my mother's told family that she would not allow me to divert from what in her thought was in my, I was brought up in my, and that's my history.
Wow.
She wouldn't, even though she was a total illiterate, she paved my way for me.
But you didn't go straight to being a doctor?
Of course. You go through, we went to the middle school, and in those days, we people are lucky now. You imagine we had only one government middle school in the whole Laura Languse country. So, and the best boys, they would take one to go there. Sometimes two, sieving the exam. And of course, God being good, I topped. So I went to the middle school in Laura. There was only one middle school, so all the best boys came there to compete. And from there, you write an exam and you'll be sent to Tamale. And that was the only government school that we had, those of us from. People don't know. That was the only one. So the sieving started from primary school. So all my mates, those who couldn't pass, they already lost their chance. Then we got to middle school, I think one remained. Then we got to the secondary school. I remained the only person from Nandom primary school, 1947, who really broke the records. And I ended up, but my mother was always on me. You said you'd be a doctor, and a doctor you'll be. Because you see my political life, I was a young pioneer.
Yeah.
I was the first.
With
Nkrumah. So I was president of the young pioneers. And of course, the teachers were misreading our intents. But I told them clearly that I thank God I was a young pioneer, because Nkrumah taught us that you are the leaders in future, and never forget. You are not only a Ghanaian, but you are an African. And we are taught to respect our parents. So all those stories they are writing is not true. We will salute, but no, Nkrumah made us to sing that, protect state property. So actually, you see that a good number of the people who have succeeded and kept to his philosophy. You see, some of them are now professors in the university. And when we meet, we talk about those days. So it was really wrong. Of course, you had the advantage, because once you are a young pioneer, they get to know you in circles. And that is why they wanted me to go and study in Russia. I had the opportunity, because the first thing was that. Then my mother would tell me that, why? You are a staunch Catholic. What are you going to do in Russia? To be a communist, you are not going there. Then Nkrumah too was interested in a Greek.
Okay.
So we were three of us who passed to go to do a degree in the Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology. Of course, I passed. I went back with the good news to my mother. My mother said, young man, you didn't say you were going to be a farmer. If you're a farmer, they say, oh, they're good. Go and farm. No, this woman, I owe my... So when that happened, and I came to Accra, I reported to Elliot. Elliot then was one of the deputy. I said, no, my mother doesn't want it. She says, no, okay, we are going to... We'll try, if you don't want, we'll try and let you go to Leningrad University to do medicine. The things are still there. I took it so happy. I'm going abroad, because to go abroad those days...
It was a big deal.
I went and showed this, that you are a Catholic, what are you doing in a communist country? You see, the woman really was very, an illiterate woman.
Yeah.
And yet she followed my life very well throughout when I was young. Then, as it happened, from there we went to the secondary school, Tamale.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I remained the only one from Nando, 1949. All of them went up the way, and I remained there. Fortunately, 1957 came, and of course, they were teasing us, because 6th of March, we had independence. So we were both colonial and independent. So we were very much, those days were very exciting days.
So you didn't end up in Russia, you actually ended up in Italy.
I ended up. So, and my mother's prayers too worked for me. So when I didn't go, I didn't go to Russia, then an Indian, I think his name is here, Juan Mutuswami. Mm-hmm. Then I was, when you do that, you have to break for some time before. So I went to the UAC. So the secret of my doing business is that at that time, UAC was in Tamale. And I went there as a deputy clerk.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, oh, that's how I learned business.
Yeah.
And so people don't know how I'm able to come and start a clinic, young man, mm-hmm. 1974. No, but it was the UAC.
Mm-hmm.
The UAC as a deputy clerk, I was there. Then I went to the sixth form there. I did medicine. In fact, even what people don't know about me was that. And if you read a little about me, I like literature.
Mm-hmm.
I could recite Shakespeare for you, and I loved history. Some came with misgivings that the whole war was a bloody patricide, and considered the Americans as typical Englishmen who were separated from home by accident of geography. That is the American War of Independence.
Mm-hmm.
No, we had historians who stimulated us, and I loved history. It was one of, and literature. So what happened was that I was then to decide whether I would do science or art.
Yeah.
My art teacher said, this man, I could speak French or Latin, Spiro. Mm-hmm. And in Latin, I was very good in those. So now, the year came that you have to choose whether you are doing arts or science.
Yeah.
My science teacher said, they will never let me do arts. My art teacher said, we will never let you. So they had to throw a stone. They
You're took serious.
Head of stone. Then it was medicine. And from that day onwards, when they said I was doing science and I started, my classmates started calling me doctor. Because when I'll see these rabbits, I'll take them and try to operate. Oh, yes. So in the school, I was very much. So I owe it a lot to my teachers. And it was an Indian who was in charge of chemistry.
Okay.
He loved me so much that he would call me to go and mark chemistry papers of even my seniors.
Wow.
So when I couldn't go to Russia, then I was at the UAC, and then went to sit for him. Then he came and said, no, I'll send you somewhere. I'm sure you go abroad. And I didn't know. So he took me to the bishop of Tamale. And because I always go to church, he said, but you have a bishop here. So he drove me to meet Bishop Champagne. He was a Canadian bishop. So I went, greeted him very timidly, and he said, oh, what is your name? So I gave my name, Edmond Munyandele.
Mm-hmm.
He looked at me, where do you come from? I said, I come from Nanda. And the bishop said, you are coming to me. Your uncle is the bishop of what? So why are you coming to me? Go to Peter Derry, and you see his picture there. Go and see your uncle, because Derry and Delhi, there are two in Dagao. When you say Derry, is the senior. Derly is the junior. So actually, my name should be Derly. But you can't pronounce it Delhi. So they say Delhi.
Delhi.
The Derrys and the Delhis are, So here was I, very timid. I went to meet the archbishop. He was then a bishop. I went there and I went and told him that, my chemistry master says that I should go and study medicine. And since my mother says I can't go to Russia, and that he knows that he can help me. So of course, Bishop Derry, as soon as he saw me, he said, my son, what is it? So I told him, he said, no. He said, the time I saw him wasn't the correct time because universities are, so I should go and teach at St. Charles in Tamale. And a good number of these people who are now, I taught them in 1963. I taught them science. And then this was how
that was how you got the opportunity to travel.
So he asked me, go and teach and I'll find a university for you. So he got Padua University for
In Italy.
Yes. So as soon as 63, the place was already there for me. So I went to the university.
And that's actually in Italy. That's where the name Rabito comes
from.
Yes,
that's, yes.
We'll actually talk about that.
So this is just part one of the conversation we're having with the founder of Rabito Clinic and Paramount Chief of the Nandom Traditional Area, His Royal Majesty, now Professor Edmond Minyam Delechir the Eighth. And we're going to have a second part next week. And this is what to expect in part two of this personality profile conversation.
You wanted to be the flag bearer.
I wanted to be. Now I'm not.
Now you don't want to.
I can't be.
Because you are the paramount chief of the Nandom Traditional Area. How have you found that role? It's been 4 years, right?
Yes.
Since you took up the seat.
Seat, 4 years, yes.
How has it been so far?
Well, it is also, I am comfortable, but my love for dermatology makes me to feel that I can abandon my patients.
Okay.
Because that's what keeps, but I'm happy working with my own people, own people, and I'm learning a lot from them.
Okay.
And I think it's good because when you go there, now as paramount chief, I have the elders to guide me. But I now have to know how to resolve issues in the families.
Yeah.
So this is something that the courts should assist us.
Okay.
They should train us on little more, but
dispute resolution.
But I'll be very, honestly, I'm happy the minister was also mentioning it. It is a tradition we should not throw away.
So thank you for making a date with us on part one of the conversation. Make a date next week, same time, for part two of this exciting personality profile conversation. Uncle Ken takes over your radio now with Ken's Music Mix. Have a great evening.